Well, good evening. Well, let's begin our time with a word of prayer. Father, we are again grateful for each and every time that we can come together, enjoy one another's company, look into your word, learn from it, learn more about you and even about ourselves, and tonight a little bit more even about our history. Just thank you for your word to us, the fact that it is indeed trustworthy. And it's not just that you tell us that it's trustworthy. We believe that, but it you show it to be trustworthy. And I just pray, Lord, as we look at the topic of anthropology tonight, that you would grow our faith and equip us even to give an answer for anyone to anyone that asks us the reason for the hope that is in us. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, we looked last week at the topic of biology, and in particular, you know, with biology comes the popular scientific notion of evolution. And a couple of things that we looked at last week pretty much showed us that evolution can't explain where life came from. In fact, evolution can't even support itself. It actually disproves itself, while the Bible very clearly communicates the origin of life, and the science of biology is fully supported by what the Bible says about it. We saw that the theory of evolution is actually disproved by the laws of biology and laws of thermodynamics. Can anyone summarize for me the second law of thermodynamics? Okay, what's the second law of thermodynamics, though? Just a summary of it. Okay, that's the first law of biology. Okay, no, that's good. That was my next question. The second law of thermodynamics is basically everything deteriorates. Everything goes from complex to less complex. That's why our cars, if left alone, they would eventually rust into the ground. That's why we age. That's the second law of thermodynamics. Everything naturally goes from complex to less complex. Now, can someone summarize the first law of biology, Vic? All right, the first law of biology is, you had it exactly there. Okay, all living things live and exist on the laws of thermodynamics. Second law being one, things deteriorate. They don't become more complex. Yet, evolutionary biology says that things are going from less complex to more complex, and that is a direct violation of the second law of thermodynamics and the first law of biology. Can you give me other examples of how evolutionary biology disproves itself? We looked at a few of them. One of them involved time. Okay, that's right. What happens over the course of time? Do things get better or worse? Okay, even time, the more time you throw into the theory of the more time you throw into the natural law of biology and the second law of thermodynamics, things get worse. They get time makes evolution more impossible rather than possible. Another example of how evolutionary biology has disproved itself. Did we talk about an experiment? The longest running evolutionary experiment, 32 years with E. coli bacteria. And after 32 years, 60,000 generations of E. coli bacteria, roughly equivalent, science says, to 100 million years, roughly equivalent to 1 million years of human evolution, after they threw everything they could at this E. coli bacteria, after 32 years and 60,000 generations, it's still just E. coli bacteria. Nothing changed. And then we talked about the fact that there really are no transitionary fossils from one species to another. I believe in microevolution. Okay, I believe animals within their species change and adapt to their environment. And I think we can even find fossil evidence of that. We can see living evidence of that. But from one species to another, there is not a single transitionary fossil. Remember I showed you the ruler? And I put a cow on one end, and scientists say that, well, I didn't actually have a cow, not even a fake one. But a cow on one end, whale on the other, because evolution says that's where whales came from, is cows walked into the ocean again and again, I guess, and eventually became whales. But the point is we find fossils and remnants of cows, we find fossils and remnants of whales, but there's all that space between. We don't find any, would it be a kale or a wow, right? We don't find any of those.
More wow.
More wow, okay. No kales or wows. All right. In what ways does the Bible prove to be accurate in the area of biology? And Joan, you had one. You said one earlier. When I. Well, you said something. It sounded like. Okay. Okay. All right. Life by design is proven, but rejected, and basically what the Bible says life has to come from life. It says that every design must have a designer, and it says that intelligence must have an imprint. Even life on its own, plant life, okay, it can't come from nothing. It has, something has to put it. But not only that, we're different than a plant because we have intellect, we have emotion, we have will, and that in itself has to come from someplace. And of course, God says we are created in His image. And then we talked about a few areas where God talked about healthy lifestyles, right? And even before man knew the dangers of certain things, like eating undercooked pork, all right, or eating animals that feed on the droppings of other animals, okay? Those things are dangerous, and if we're not careful, we can get sick. People still get sick from that, but God knew before man, and He, right within His laws, while His laws were not there for the specific reason of keeping us healthy, that was a byproduct of them. All right, we're going to move on to anthropology tonight. And while there are some similarities in the science of anthropology and biology, our focus in anthropology, or I should say my focus in anthropology, is going to be on human history and specifically how long people have been around and the evidence of that, and really the evidence contrary to hundreds of thousands of years in the evolutionary theory. And the first, I'm going to give you about 9 different evidences, and I think we'll get through them all tonight. But 9 different evidences of a a 6 to 10,000 year biblical view of human history. And the first evidence, and again, some of these are going to be pro-Bible, some of these are going to be against evolution. The first one is a con for evolution, and that is hundreds of thousands of years really doesn't have any evidence. In fact, a couple of things we're going to look at tonight kind of fall right into that category, but I've got them broken out separately. Hundreds of thousands of years of human history has no evidence. Now, we've already talked about why evolution is impossible. The science world, however, must promote hundreds of thousands of years of human existence. They promote it not because there's evidence of that, and we'll see that, but they promote it because it does support the theory of evolution that they want to believe. All right? We're going to see tonight the science of anthropology doesn't really support that length of time, the long lengths. Even carbon 14, as we talked about that, didn't support human existence or even the existence of life beyond 5,000 years. Carbon 14 is used to date material that used to be alive, but even it's manipulated to get any ages over 5,000 years. Carbon 14 is fairly accurate up to its half life, but after its half life, the numbers go skiwampus. All right, but here are some things. What about the fossil record of human beings? Don't we have skulls of ancient primates evolving into humans? And I'll just tell you, there is a lot of detail that we could get into on that topic alone, because there has been hoaxes through the years of remains of what they would call the missing link being found. There have been hoaxes. There have been entire human beings constructed out of one finger bone or one toe bone or one jaw bone, okay? So it really exists in the imagination of the science world. But here is what the science world would put forth as to the history or anthropology or evolution of humanity. And we all come, they say, from a common ancestor, and then there's these different, onto the right there, different branches of different skulls that they've found. And all the way on the top right there, you see a human and Neanderthal. And then, of course, you got this rebellious guy on the left who didn't change at all, right? And we got him in today's time zone or time as well. But what we really find, and this is what they've constructed from various skulls that they have found. But the truth be known, all they really have is old skulls of primates and old skulls of human beings. And they have similarities, and it's only imagination, really, that creates any kind of link. There's no question that apes and chimpanzees have similar facial and body features that we do. There's just no doubt about that. But any kind of link is an imagination. And let me give you a perfect example of what imagination can do. Is that proof of evolution? Do spoons slowly evolve into forks? Well, we got evidence that they do. Don't we? If I went out in the hills and I found a spoon and I found a spork and I found a fork buried in the dirt, I could bring them to you and say, I've got proof of evolution right here. But what have I really found? I found a spoon, I found a spork, and I found a fork. All three distinct things existing at the exact same time. That's all we've got here. They're all distinct species that all existed at the exact same time. It's not proof of evolution. You and I could go out today and we can find living primates that have facial features that sort of look like human features. We can find living people today that have facial features that sort of look like primate features, okay? It isn't a representation of evolution. It's just a it's not a representation of evolution because they all exist today. It shows that primates right now can have features similar to humans right now. That's all it is. What about images that show primates evolving into humans? How do you answer that? What's that, Mitch? Somebody drew that. That's not a photograph. Somebody drew that. It's a work of art, as Mitch said, right out of somebody's imagination. What we have are old skulls of primates, old bones of primates, old skulls of humans, old skulls of human beings, and the similarities, and an imagination creates the link. Right.
And I look at that, and back before I even stepped foot into a church, or even knew anything about God or anything, and I'm looking at that, and I didn't believe that. So what would you say about that?
Well, anybody that showed me this as proof of evolution, I would say exactly what you and Mitch said. That's just a work of art. It's a drawing. Well, art would be a stretch, but it's just a drawing. It's human imagination. I mean, we could go into New York City or Las Vegas right now and go to the zoo and go to the strip and find somebody that looks like every one of those existing today, okay? It's imagination. That's all it is. They're all individuals that existed at the same time, just like our spoon, spork, and fork. But what about the findings of primitive man? What about the evidence of cavemen? I mean, we have proof that man used to be primitive and slowly evolved into civilized cultures. They started out just living on the land like primates or nomads, and then they found fire, and then they invented the wheel, and then hundreds of thousands later, years later, they're driving a Mercedes. Isn't that proof of anthropological evolution? Well, it isn't. It's just proof of different cultures, again, all existing at the same time. Yes, civilization has advanced. We have air conditioning now. It's wonderful. We have heat now. Yes, technologically, man has advanced. But even today, there are tribes in the Amazon and in Africa that don't have a wheel yet. They don't have a wheel yet. They're still hunting with spears. They're still drawing on cave walls. Less than 150 years ago, the Mormon settlers came to Mesquite. They settled this town. They built houses. They built irrigation canals. They farmed here. They hunted with rifles. They installed the first light bulbs in their houses. And there were American Indians living in tents, hunting with spears and drawing on rocks 35 miles from here. That's just 150 years ago. We're not finding proof of civilization evolving from primate to humans over hundreds of thousands of years. We're finding proof of differing cultures that have existed all within the same period of time. Some of them advanced in luxury, and some of them didn't. Hundreds of thousands of years is based upon imagination The theory of evolution has no real evidence from an anthropological standpoint. So that's the first thing I wanted to just open up our topic with here tonight, is the theory of evolution has no real evidence to support a history of man that long. The second thing is the Bible communicates anthropology in thousands of years. And I know we've gone through this a little bit way back in one of our first classes that we did, but go ahead and turn to Luke chapter 3, and we're going to do a little bit of math. Luke chapter 3 and verse 23. This begins, I guess I ought to go to Luke. Begins a genealogy, and I'm not going to read the entire thing. I just want to show you how it starts, how it ends, and then we'll look at a few statistics that have been compiled. And then we'll do a little bit of math here. But verse 23 says, "Now Jesus himself began his ministry at about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph, the son of Hele, the son of Matta." And we'll stop right there. Now go all the way down to verse 38. The genealogy continues, "the son of Enosh, the son of Seth, the son of Adam, the son of God." So there's Luke chapter 3, verses 23 and 38, giving us the genealogy from Jesus all the way back to Adam. Let's go ahead and turn to Genesis chapter 5 now. Genesis chapter 5 begins giving us the lineage, genealogy from Adam on. All right. In fact, I'll just have you look at it. Look at verse 3, chapter 5, verse 3. "And Adam lived 130 years, begot a son in his own likeness, after his own image, and named him Seth." If you jump down to verse 6, then it says, "Seth lived 105 years and begot Enosh." And it goes through this whole genealogy. If you were to follow the book of Genesis through, you could actually compile now the time of the genealogy between Adam and Noah. Okay. In fact, I think that's where chapter 5 ends. If you continue through Genesis, you can compile the ages from Noah all the way to Joseph and so on. So there's a ton of information in the book of Genesis, and all of these ages are accounted for, and you could do it if you wanted to, but you could go through with an adding machine and start adding up all of these years. In fact, there have been a couple people that have done it. Bishop Usher in 1658, and in fact, I think I hope maybe you can read that. I know I got a couple slides coming up here. The print's going to be way too small for you to see. But here are two people, one just recently and one almost 500 years ago, that calculated the genealogies. They went through from Adam all the way to Jesus and calculated all of the ages of all the people, and these two guys both came up with added up all the numbers, and it came to a starting date of 4004 BC. 4004 BC. So 4004 years from Adam to Jesus. That's what they calculated. And you could do it too if you wanted to. In fact, here is a list of 32 more people that have all done the same thing. They went through and they added it up, and the average, now a lot of people came up with different dates, and I mentioned this early on. Some believe that there are a few people missing from the genealogy. Some believe that the numbers aren't complete enough, the ages aren't quite complete enough, but the average age of all 32 of these people that did the exact same thing is 4,000 years. The highest, I think, was 5,500 years, and the lowest estimate was 3,800 years. So here are 32 people all did the same thing, and their average came to, again, 4,000 years, with only about a 500 differential year differential in one direction and 260 in the other. So 32 other people did this. And then here is a list of people that put together genealogies of their own country. Okay, they actually took their own genealogy and went back as far as they could in it and calculated when their genealogy began. And the highest is almost 7,000 years. The lowest is 7,000 years. The lowest is 3,600. So here we are again with an average of right around 4,000 years. And that's genealogies outside of the Bible, okay? All right. Moving on here. So, just for the fun of it, let's do the... Oh, all right, you can look at that. I'm not going to talk about it yet, but you can look at it. All right, let's do the math. 4,000 years from Adam to Jesus. How many years ago was Jesus? About 2,000, so now we're up to 6,000. How many days of creation? All right, 6 and a day of rest. So we're looking at 6,000 years. No matter how you look at it, that's what the math comes up with concerning Scripture. And again, there could be a little discrepancy in there, in that there could be some people missing from genealogies. There could be a few years that weren't able to calculate, ages that they weren't able to calculate. But there have been lots. There could have been. All right. Anyway, there's the math. All right. I was looking at one line in my notes and realized it was completely different from the words that were coming out of my mouth, so I stopped. All right. Jesus, and I think we looked at this passage, I don't know if it was last week or the week before. Let's go to Mark. Mark chapter 10. You know, we looked at some theistic evolutionary theories a couple weeks ago, where even those that would say they believe what the Bible says try to make evolution fit into it anyway. That's theistic evolution. And we spent two full Wednesdays kind of showing why that can't happen. But still, people ask the question, could there have been lots of time between the initial creation of the universe and the world and the creation of man? Well, obviously, Genesis says there's only 6 days difference. But what I want to point out is that Jesus believed it was all at the same time, too. Mark chapter 10 says this, verse 6. Mark 10:6 is Jesus speaking. Where'd he go? But from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. And he's talking about husband and wife there. So Jesus saw the creation of man in the beginning. He knew it was at the beginning of creation. That's when man and woman were first made. Jesus also believes, or he tells us to believe what Moses wrote. If you're still in the Gospels there, go to John chapter 5. the context of what he's saying is an entirely different topic, but what he says is very straightforward and needs to be understood as he said it. In John chapter 5, verses 45 through 47, Jesus says, "Do not think that I shall accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you, Moses, in whom you trust." Let me tell you, he's talking to Jews here. He's talking to Jewish leaders and who are unwilling to believe that Jesus was the Messiah. So Jesus is telling them, all right, if you don't want to believe in me, that's fine, but know that there is one that's going to accuse you, and that's Moses, because you claim to believe everything that Moses said. All right, verse 45 again. "Do not think that I shall accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you, Moses, in whom you trust. For if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words?" So what Jesus is saying here is, you say you believe Moses, but you're not believing Moses. You're not believing him about me. And quite frankly, if you're not, you're not believing anything that he says. And Moses, by the way, said in Exodus 20, verse 11, "For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." Moses understood the creation week to be one literal week. The Jews believed it to be one literal week. Jesus believed it to be one literal week. And again, all of that, if we do the math, here we are 6,000 years later after creation. Number three, world populations of life do not match an old earth. World populations of life, that's human life and animal life, do not match an old earth. There are around 7.5 billion people on earth right now. Quite simply, taking into account all of the known variables and ebbs and flows in human population through the years, and then extrapolating that out. Now, I mean, there's some we know. There's recorded history for several thousand years. We know what happened for the most part in that to human populations. But if you take that window and extrapolate it out over the amount of time, hundreds of thousands of years, almost a million years of supposed human experience, there should be, and again, take into account all of the variables of population dips and rises, there should be hundreds of billions more people on Earth right now. Okay? And that could be said about animal life as well. Do you understand what I was saying? Okay, all right, just if the Earth or human history is as long as they say it is, even taking into account all of the variations of population up and down, there should be 100 times more people on Earth right now than there is. Same with animals. However, in taking all of those same variables into account, if we go back 4,500 years and start with 6 young people, Noah's sons and daughters-in-law, and 2 of every species of animal walking off the ark, the population today is within 0.5% of where it should be for 4,500 years. That's pretty close. 0.5% of where it should be for a 4,500-year history since Noah's flood. Evolution's answer, of course, is mass extinctions that you know, the population fluctuated a lot more than we think it did. But well, there's no evidence. There's no the fossil numbers don't match that. They don't even support the fossil numbers. While fossils are rare in proportion to an actual human or animal population, they are proportional, all right? And the fossil numbers don't even come close to supporting tens of thousands of years of human history, let alone hundreds of thousands of years. All right, so world populations of life do not match an old Earth, not even close. Number four, the mitochondrial Eve shows common parents. This is actually, it's probably been within the last, I want to say 25, 30 years that they've been able to trace, and I couldn't even tell you the scientific term now. I guess it's chromosome path. It seems like there's something else involved there, but tracing the chromosome path back, science now agrees that all humanity came from a common set of parents. They call her the mom, the mitochondrial Eve. And as they followed that path, most of the world's nations and races, they're finding that we are related. In fact, we talked, it was Richard, you brought it up last week about Neanderthal chromosomes being found. It isn't a chromosome. There was another term there, now I lost it. But being found in people on the continent of Africa. And they thought that can't be, but it's there. And they're showing that we are indeed all related, just like the Bible says. Go figure. While there are many in the scientific community that deny it and are trying to find ways around it or to explain it within their evolution context, I believe it. We do come from a common set of parents, just like the Bible says. All right, number five, ancient intelligence. If man has been evolving, and evolution would say that he's been evolving intelligently as well, in intelligence, how do we explain things like this, okay? According to evolution, man has become smarter and more intelligent, and while there are technological advancements in our world today that seem to indicate that electronics and technology in general is just one area, one small area of intelligence. All right, you take a look at something like this. And even today, there have been people that have tried to begin to duplicate what's been done here. They theorized as to how it would have been done so long ago, and that they still don't know. They still don't know how people did that. I don't know how many of you, some of you were living here, I think, when they built the Luxor in Las Vegas. That's the big pyramid casino. Do you remember? They had an incredible amount of trouble with the foundation of that structure. I don't remember all of the details. What I do remember is as they started pouring the foundations and then erecting that pyramid, it caused them troubles that they never even anticipated. And they were using steel. They weren't using multi-ton bricks and stacking them up. So here we have this thing, and we still don't know how they did it. Here's something else, and this was fascinating. This is only one picture. You can go online and find dozens of pictures. This is one wall of a huge, huge fortress, an Inca fortress in Peru. It was built about 1,000 years ago, and it is at 12,000 feet in elevation. It's on a mountaintop, 12,000 feet in elevation. And scientists, anthropologists, historians, they are baffled as to how in the world they did those rocks. Because what they learned was that the rocks are not natural to the mountaintop. They had to be hauled in. Those boulders had to be hauled in, and they had to be quarried and cut to size wherever they brought them from, transported, and then constructed here. They're not square blocks. I went to an ICR, Institute for Creation Research seminar, and that's the first time I ever heard about this. And the guy was there, he was talking, he's been there, and he went and inspected. He says, you cannot slip a piece of paper between the joints of those blocks. That's how tightly they fit and how well quarried and cut they are. Scientists today still don't know how they did that. In fact, there are a few rocks within this fortress that they say, we don't have equipment that could move it today. We don't have equipment today that would move some of the rocks. I don't know if maybe that big one there is one of them, but this is what that fellow said. You can look up incredible, incredible pictures of this fortress. Again, on a mountaintop, 12,000 feet in elevation. 1,000 years ago, they did this. They still don't know how they did it. Stonehenge. Lots of theories. They still don't know how they did it. Noah's Ark. I guess we got blueprints right in the Bible. We know how he did it, right? And that's what Ken Ham, Answers in Genesis guy, did. He basically built this two-size, this scale replica of the ark. But here's the thing. Noah's floated. I don't think that would float if he put it in water. I don't know. But can you imagine that? We still don't know how he did it. And this was one guy. One guy did that. Ancient intelligence is really evidence that I believe that people actually have become less intelligent. I do. I think people there and there and there and there were much smarter than any of us today. Well, pretty much proven. We don't have anybody that knows for sure how to do that or has replicated it. All right, so ancient intelligence is really evidence against evolution, okay? People are not getting more intelligent. All right, couple more here. Number six, ages of implements. What's an implement? A tool, all right? Tool for anything. It could be a weapon, could be a farming tool. Evolutionists want to believe that after the stone implements of about 2 million years ago, man then came into what they call the Bronze Age, about 3000 BC, and then later on, about 700 BC, they entered the Iron Age. And while technology for implements certainly has advanced, kind of like technology, electronics, all that, you know, we learn more about these genres. There really wasn't an evolution of, well, there was an evolution of implements, but it wasn't like they think it was. All right, in fact, let's go ahead and turn back to Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4, I just want to read one verse, and it's kind of part of a genealogy, I think, verse 22. I guess it isn't. It is kind of, but anyway, Verse 22, and it says, "As for Zillah, she also bore Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every craftsman in bronze and iron." So here we have two forms of implements being built at the exact same time. There wasn't 2,300 years between them. In fact, this account of iron being used is actually way before evolutionists believe that man was working with iron. But God tells us that they did. So even implements, while evolutionists want to use implements as a proof of evolution in intelligence, really, it's not. Number seven, recorded history only shows thousands of years. And what I mean, you know, man has documented historical events, sometimes in writing, sometimes in pictographs, all right? But according to the to evolution, Homo sapiens, that is intelligent, speaking, implement-making human beings, have been around, they would say, for hundreds of thousands of years. Yet, recorded history of humans, and this includes drawing pictures of events, began only about 3,000 years ago. Only about 3,000 BC, not 3,000 years ago, 3,000 BC. According to secular history, they say the recording of history only started in hundreds of thousands of years of humanity, only started 5,000 years ago. Surely if man were around and intelligent hundreds of thousands of years ago, he'd have drawn a picture on a wall. The Israelites began recording history about 1500 BC. The Chinese began recording history about 2000 BC. Other Middle Eastern countries started about 2500 BC. The Egyptians started about 3200 BC. And these are the oldest known recordings of history. And my point is, surely, if man were around and at least somewhat intelligent 100,000 years ago, he'd have drawn a picture on a wall sooner than 5,000 years ago. But that's not what we're finding. History seems to begin, recording-wise, only 5,000 years ago. So recorded history shows a short time. Number eight. Languages are not different enough. Languages are not different enough. How different is the English language today as compared to 500 years ago? You weren't around. I know you weren't there. Anybody read Shakespeare? Anybody watch a Shakespeare play or a movie? What are they saying? Because it's English. It is English, but it's a very, very different English. And that's only 500 years. I don't understand. In fact, in order for me to either read or watch Shakespeare, long about the halfway mark is when I start figuring out what they're talking about, because I start getting the meanings of these English words. But it's English. Has the English language changed in your lifetime? Yeah, it sure has. There are new words and even old ones that have changed in enunciation and meaning. Two things about language. First, as quickly as it changes, there should not be as many similarities between languages as there are if humanity has been speaking for 100,000 years, okay? There should be languages that don't even resemble one another, yet we have so many that are so very closely connected. And you and I can even see that difference or that similarity. Spanish, Italian, Portuguese, French, all very similar, all over the globe, right? Okay. Yeah, I mean, you just go across the pond and listen to them in England pronounce some of the exact same words that we use. I'm trying to think of one now. There's what?
UK, they say Renaissance, and we say Renaissance.
Okay, there you go. Renaissance and Renaissance. It seemed like there was a... What's one that Sherlock Holmes always does? Anyway, you see what I mean. And my point being is if languages have been around for tens or maybe even 100,000 years, they should have changed more. There shouldn't be similarities the way they are around the globe. There's an Aboriginal tribe in Australia that speaks a language that is almost identical to a dialect in India. Okay? With time being as it is, or as it's speculated to be, languages should have changed much more than they should have. In fact, the first thing, again, as quickly as it changes, there should not be as many similarities there. But secondly, as one traces language back in history, we can do that through writings, even through pictographs to some degree. We can trace language back. But as one does that, all of the oldest languages can only be traced back to about 2000 BC. As we look at the historical record of language, and you know, there are languages that have become obsolete in the past since recorded history, okay? But as we trace languages, some of the oldest ones back, we can only go back. It basically stops at 2000 BC. And oddly enough, that coincides with something in the Bible. Anyone know what it is? Tower of Babel, that's right. Genesis chapter 11. We're almost out of time, but I think I only got one more point after this. So, Genesis chapter 11. And we're gonna talk a little bit more about this in a week or two, I think. But in Genesis chapter 11, I'll just read verses 1 through 9, and it kind of gives us the story, the context here. But, maybe I'll just summarize. I'll summarize for the sake of time. As people got, or as Noah's sons and daughters-in-law got off of the ark, their command was to go into all the earth and multiply, okay? But instead, what they do, generation after generation after generation, they clumped in one area. In fact, they became big. A big people group. And they started thinking that they could be like God. So they decided to build this tower up to God. And as a result of that, God, in fact, verse 7 says, "Come, let us go down and confuse their language that they may not understand one another's speech." So the Lord scattered them abroad. So if all of us in this room, we're all speaking English right now, but if immediately God assigned every single one of us a different language, how long would you sit and listen to me? You wouldn't know what I'm saying. And Richard, you'd turn to Linda and say, "What is he saying in your language?" And you'd say it to her in your language, and Linda would be like, "What are you saying? I don't understand what you're saying." And before long, we're like, none of us understand. And we will go our own separate ways. That's exactly what happened here. All right. One last thing, and we're done here. and that is agriculture. Agriculture is recent. Even according to the evolutionary history of hundreds of thousands of years of mankind, they look back on what they find in the way of implements and evidence of farming, evidence of herdsmen, and they will tell you that farming, agriculture in general, has only been around, they would say, 12,000 years. Surely, if man were around and intelligent up to 500,000 years ago, they would have figured out farming and at least kept some of the animals that they used close. That's all it is. But there's no evidence of anything like that until recently. So agriculture, even evolutionary science, looks at the evidence of that and say, you know what, agriculture is recent. Well, I think if man were around and at least somewhat intelligent before that, they would have figured out that if they want milk or they want beef, let's just keep a cow tied to the tree, but you know, or a couple of them, and breed them and have a herd. Anyway, they didn't do that. No evidence of that whatsoever until recent history. And that is where I'm going to end tonight. But any thoughts or questions on what we've looked at tonight? Richard. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. So the Bible is right again. Yep. Beast of burden, yep. But if, you know, man has been around for tens and hundreds of thousands of years longer than that, surely he'd have figured out before that, right? But he wasn't. Other thoughts?
The other one was that I'm pretty sure that they point to the man called man living in caves and all that kind of stuff. Well, Enoch, he built a city.
He is. And David lived in a cave for a while. I believe in cavemen, yeah. No, really, it isn't. For sure, yeah. It's just differing cultures. Moses was a nomad for 40 years. Well, 80 years, technically, yeah.
No,
is that right? Okay. All right. Yeah. When you look at the evidence in a logical way, it really does make a lot more sense than the evolutionary theory. All right. Anything else? Diane. Okay, yeah, it's a good question. Know that all of those old ages like that were pre-flood. They were all before Noah's time. You know, you got Methuselah, which was over 900 years old when he died. And what the Bible talks about, a canopy over the earth, and when Noah's flood happened, not only did that canopy, a water canopy, fall down, but water shot up from the ground. So what theistic scientists believe is that the atmosphere was very, very different. In fact, if you want to get technical, they would believe that the whole world was in a greenhouse effect. it was all very lush and very almost tropical. But as a result of the differing atmosphere, in fact, there is no evidence of rain until Noah, so the air just had moisture in it. That's why they believe people did live longer. It was just a very different world pre-flood. That also would explain perhaps the size of some dinosaurs. All right, if dinosaurs existed at that time, we're finding dinosaur fossils from pre-flood, that it could actually be that they were really, really old too. And it's like, what is it? Isn't it a goldfish? Yeah, a lot of reptiles will actually grow to the size of their surroundings. Right. Okay. So yeah, anyway, to answer your question, it appears from Scripture that the atmosphere, the world overall, was a very different place. So. No, the same days, weeks, and years. Yep. Richard? That's true. Yep. Yep. All right. Anything else? Good question, Diane. All right, let's close in prayer. Father, again, thank you for our time in your word. Thank you for the faith that it can build in us. And we do thank you again just for the ample evidence, not only in creation, but even in what man has built. Evidence in what man has built actually shows us the truth of your word. Thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.